things. And all this, I should mention, he composed in a room which he had rented. He stayed all the time now with his parents. But he had rented this room so that he should compose somewhere else.
And awesome.
Really have
and
the peace and quiet. And of course, he also needed a room where we could meet. And this was an apartment of an old lady who was a Frau Hofrat. She had a beautiful apartment, you know, and was now, like so many people in Austria, who had lost their money through the war. She needed the money and gave away this. And she understood Eric. She was a very musical person.
Mm-hmm.
But she needed the money. And he was very often in back with his rent money, and then she threatened to throw him out, and that gave him such anguish, you know, as you could not imagine. And even in our later, in our married life, after we were married 20 years, he would dream that she came in and you know, gave him warning to lose that room. And it was like a nightmare to him. But in this room, he composed most of these, all these, the Passacaglia, from the Passacaglia, the Mass, and the Requiem.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, we've talked in connection with the Kleine Messe and also the Requiem that perhaps the Mass text served as a substitute for another kind of drama. We've mentioned he's always looking for a libretto. Finally, in 1934, he composes a Volksoper, The Journey into Wonderland, and isn't it rather strange or surprising that he uses...
interruptions.
A little surprising that he uses material from a Kinderspiel.
Well, no, that was a commission. But Adler, as I told you, was at that time the chorus director of the Volksoper. And the Volksoper had accepted this text by Alfred Möller, who was a very known dramatist of this kind of thing. And they wanted to put on this play for their Christmas production for children. And so Kurt Adler came to Eric and said he should compose. Gave him the libretto. And it had to be finished, I think, within 4 days. And so he, Kurt Adler told me, you just shut him into the room and don't let him out. And this is about what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did that in the shortest of time. It was very, very, very cute. And was successful. The critic was very good, and was a very delightful performance. Kurt Adler conducted it.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the Volksoper, which is very big. It's bigger in seating capacity as the big opera.
Opera. Yes.
And afterwards, Eric made a suite out of some of the pieces of it, and this suite was constantly played on the radio. It was like semi-classical, as you would call it, because it was very light and meant for children, and therefore very melodious and uncomplicated music.
Yes.
And so it was constantly played, and that was the beginning of a technique that later became was everyday thing. But there it was, I think, first introduced. They did it on tape and then played the tape. And I'm told that after we left Austria, the tape was still played without mentioning the name.
I see.
Because it was a very popular piece.
I see. There is much in this story to recall Hansel and Gretel. There's a prayer, and there's a wicked witch, and... If anything, Müller seems to have taken ingredients that worked well in this earlier setting and compounded them.
I think he took all the ingredients of the fairy tale world and put them in this play and mixed them up with Christmas, you know.
I see.
At the end was a Christmas theme.
Yes, I meant to meant to ask you about that. Is that particular tune a well-known Christmas tune for German youth and Austrian youth?
Which?